It is a joy to be here today. It's on my heart just to preach a short sermon this morning, but if you'd pray for us, I'd appreciate that greatly. Again, as I said, we're scheduled to start this week in North Alabama. Please pray for us in that meeting, and I mean that very much. Please pray for us. The Lord would help us and touch us, so let us be a blessing to the people. Acts chapter number 9, there in your Bible, and it does matter what's in your Bible. Well, the Bible reads in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him," here's our phrase, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go in the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him to the hand, and brought him into Damascus. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and said to him from the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, and go in the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Brother Mike, would you ask the blessings on God's reading and glory this morning? The last two Sundays, I've been dealing with a phrase from the Bible of the double-named characters. You know, many times I can remember as growing up as a child, my mother, when she wanted me, she would say, "Ken." When she said, "Ken Wayne," she said, "Ken Bowman," it brought it to a new level. But here, the Lord is speaking to Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. He used his name twice. There are pretty much 8 to 10 mentions in the Bible where this ever occurred. We dealt with the first Sunday, Abraham, Abraham. My, what a service we had that morning. Last week, we dealt with Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you and sift you as wheat. But he said, "When I have prayed for you, and when you're converted, go and strengthen the brethren." We talked about, through Peter's crises, the things in life as it softened him. You know, when you come out of some things, it's easy to say what you would do. But when you go through these circumstances, you'll always come out on the other side different than how you went in. And so he said, "Now when you're converted, you go strengthen your brother. By your falls, Simon, by your mistakes and failures, I want you to realize you can become stronger. And the most important thing, you always remember who Simon is, because you're never going to lose that name all through the Bible. You'll be recognized as Simon Peter. Can I tell you that we'll fight our flesh till the day we go to our grave? The day I got saved, there was a new man come and lived in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I still have the old nature, even though I'm saved. I'll battle it till I go to my grave. But I'm glad now there's a new nature in me, the new man, that where Christ lives inside of my soul and my spirit. But this morning, let's look at this Bible character real briefly on this statement, Saul, Saul. Now, I don't know if any of you really realize what's happening in our Bible, but Saul had quite a name. He was the Bin Laden of our day. Saul had a great name throughout religion. He had a great name through the early church and the disciples. And Saul had quite a name. He was quite a devastating character. Matter of fact, he would come into a church service like this because he did not believe that Christ was the Messiah. He believed in the law. He practiced Judaism. I mean, he had been through the scholars of Gamaliel, sit at his feet. He knew the law forward and backward. He was a very religious man. And so he did not believe in Christ. So he would come to a gathering like this, and he would take the pastor out and the leaders. They would take them back, and there they would be judged of breaking the law, saying that now Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ was the way to God. They would not hear that. So Saul really thought he was doing what was right. So we find him in this passage of Scripture, and Saul yet breathing out. Three things about this text, and I'm done this morning. First of all, notice Saul's conversing. Saul's conversing. Saul was just being Saul the only way that he knew how to be Saul, just what he was doing. And this is the thing about it, what you've got to realize. Saul believed in what he was doing. There are a lot of people in America today, in the name of religion, really believe, Brother Dwayne, that they're doing right. But they never had a light come on the situation. And so here we see this conversing. We see verse 1, he is breathing out. That has to do, Brother Randall, as a bull breathing fire out of his nose. He's inflamed. He's breathing out. He has an agenda. He's on a great mission. He's out to destroy the disciples of Christ. It's so foreign from everything he's ever been taught. He knows all about the law, but he knows nothing about the Lord. And so we find out in this conversing, we see his breathing. But then in verse 2, Brother Mike, watch this. Not only is there a breathing, but now there is a billing. He goes back to the temple, to the high priest, and he gets him a bill. He gets him a letter signed by the high priest saying that he's got the policies to lock up everybody that is teaching against the law of God. So not only does he have a great breathing, he has a billing. He comes out with a paper and he presents to them and he says, see, you're on the most wanted paper. I've got the goods on you. You're going against the whole law of Judaism. You're saying that it's no longer so. So here we see in this convening, he's walking around doing what he thought was right to do. And so we see not only this breathing, this billing, but look in verse 2. There's a great beseeching. The Bible says that he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. And here's a key phrase underlined in your Bible. If he found any of this way, a particular way, how they're doing things. What are they doing? They're preaching Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They're preaching that Jesus is God's Son. And so here we see that he comes in this conversing, he's beseeching, he's looking for people of this way. I'm going to tell you something, that's what the devil's still doing this morning. He's looking for people in this way. You know, there's a lot of things going on in America that's just going on. They have a way. But honey, when you're in the way, the truth and the life, you're drawing a line in the sand and saying, we stand against abortion. We stand against same-sex marriage. We stand on the Word of God. End of conversation. There was a family taught with me not long ago. Could you imagine? Can you imagine this, y'all? They have a pastor will not openly rebuke alcohol out of the pulpit. Are you kidding me? Because it hurts people's feelings. It might offend somebody, and then their bills might not be paid if these families leave. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Right's still right and wrong is still wrong. He's beseeching those that are in this way. Aren't you glad there's still some preachers in America that's preaching right in this day and this hour? I'm thrilled to see young men still preaching right. Young men that's wanting to do right. Young ladies that's wanting to do right. Hey, church, it's still right to do right. I like the way Brother Chuck answers the email on the back. It's still right to do right. And so here we see this beseeching. But then you'll notice in verse 2, it's what the law and religion always does. Not only is there a billing, a beseeching, but notice there's a binding that he would bind them in verse number 2. He said if he found them this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So that's what religion does. It binds you. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. I'm glad I can go out and enjoy the things that God has blessed me with and still be saved. I'm glad that I'm not caught up in legalism this morning. You know, a lot of people, they want you to walk like a little robot. Listen, God saved us as individuals. We all have different personalities. We all have different gifts and traits. We're just to be who we are and what we are for the glory of God and walk according to this Bible as close as we can walk to it. I'm glad we got grace. I'm glad I'm not on the law this morning. The law will bind you, but grace has set you free. By the way, the Ten Commandments are not binding. They bring freedom. The Ten Commandments is a law that has been given by God to bring us freedom, not bondage. And if America would live by those Ten Commandments, if all of our church families, me included, would live by those Ten Commandments, it will bring freedom, not bondage. And so here we see there was a beseeching, there was a billing, there was a binding. But then, where I want to get on in preaching, not only this conversing, let's look at this conviction. This conviction. Now, Saul is walking down the Damascus Road. He's going back there and he's going to try to arrest people of being a Christian, bring them back and trial. They would beat them. Many times they were stoned and killed. But here God decides what God can only decide and where God decides. God's going to butt in on his life. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning where God's ever butted in your life? Because you'll notice not only is they conversing, but now there's a convicting. You'll notice in verse 3, there was a life that was sinful. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Boy, he was walking on this Damascus road as a mission. But now, notice secondly, not only this life that is sinful, but look in verse 3. There's a light that is shining. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light. What does the Bible say? From where? From heaven. God turned the light on. Has there ever been a time in your life where God has turned a light on? Can I tell you how important that this story is in the book of Acts? I want you to hold your place. I won't preach much longer, but I want to show you this. Look in 1 Timothy. And I want to show you this truth in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and 15. I want you to get there. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. It's good to be saved this morning. Now, Paul's writing to his young preacher, Timothy. He has this to say. He says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world." And look what He came to do, to save sinners. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're a sinner. Jesus came to save you. Now watch what it says. "He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He said, I was the biggest sinner that ever was. I was the chief of sinners. I felt like that many times in my life. But you know something? If He can save the chief, He can save all the little Indians this morning. He saved the chief. Isn't it a blessing when you see somebody get saved that was the chief of sinners? Now watch verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." I'm glad God shows us mercy instead of justice. "That in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering." Now here's our word. "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Now there are some common elements to Acts 9 in this pattern. Any of you that's ever worked production, any of you that's ever worked in that format of work, you'll notice it may be on assembly line, but there was a pattern that was produced. And things must be made according to this pattern. I remember in the old days, young ladies, my mother, she sewed for the public. And she would spread that pattern out on that material on the table. She'd have them big scissors, you know. They'd just make a sound like only they sound cutting on a table. She'd cut that pattern out and she'd pin it. And then she'd stitch that dress out or that top out. And you know what? When she was done with it, she knew it was right. Why? Because she had a pattern. I'm so astounded today in America, where the pattern has totally been put to the side and people just believe anything. Now, we see in this passage of Acts 9, let's get back there, I want to finish this sermon. Not only is there a conversing, there is a convicting. Now, we notice here, Saul was walking down the Damascus Road. He's in a life that is sinful. He's just seen a light that is shining. It came on him suddenly. But then in verse 4, look, there's a Lord that is speaking. And I want you to notice how this changes. "He fell to earth and he heard a voice saying unto him individually, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I wonder, has God ever called your name? Saul, Saul. It's an individual thing. It was not a community involvement. It was personal. Can I tell you, salvation is personal. I'm glad He still speaks to the heart of people this morning. And so certainly He said, "Saul, Saul," this life that was sinful, this light was shining, but the Lord that was speaking. Now, we'll notice this. Saul responds in a different way, and I want you to see this. When the Lord spoke to him and shined that light upon him, you know what it done? It showed him who he was. It showed him how sinful he was. Have you ever seen yourself as a sinner? Matter of fact, I want you to notice what this light did. When the Lord said something and shined this light unto him, this is what He said in verse number 5. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." This is where people miss the pattern. You see, Saul was sinning against the Lord. You see, that's why we must be born again, because we were all born sinners. Now, there's a time when your children, I believe with all my heart, the Bible teaches this. I've got scripture to back it up. Your children are safe with Christ. You remember when David sinned against Bathsheba, God brought judgment upon him and took that child. And this is what David said ever he worshiped and he washed. He said, "He cannot come to where I am, but I can go to where he is." I'm glad that our children are safe with Jesus this morning. But young people, it's going to come a time when the Lord will begin knocking upon your heart. I don't know that age. The Bible don't say a definite age time. I can tell you this, though. It will be personal. It will be a time when the Lord deals with you about salvation. Young and old, we all must be born again. And so here, I've had little children come to the altar. I've seen people try to get them to say something and do something. You know what I simply ask your little children? What do you need? Brother Tim, I've heard them say, "I'm praying for my grandma. I'm praying." Oh, fine, baby, you just pray. You pray. Is Jesus dealing with your heart? No. Fine, hon, you just pray and go back to your seat. Don't try to trick your children into nothing. Let the Lord do the saving. Let the Lord do the convincing. And so this light shined on. Saul realized he was sinning before Christ. Jesus tells him, he says, "You think this is an attack on the church? It's not on the church. You're attacking me." So this life that was sinful, I want to say today, you may be here and you've had a very sinful life, but Jesus forgives. If He can save the chief, it gives me hope as a sinner this morning. That the Jesus that hung on that cross, that we've all sung about, heard so many sermons about, and we've all unfortunately got so used to it. But it's so. He hung on the cross and died for your sin and my sin. And so here we see this conviction, this life that was sinful, this light that was shining, the Lord that was speaking. But look in verse 5 and 6, the love that was saving. Something happened, and I don't know if you caught it in your text or not. When the Lord dealt with him, this is what he simply said in verse 5, "Who art, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus." And look how the Bible changes now. Soon as he gets saved, the Bible said, verse 6, he had trembling and astonished, and he said, "Lord, what will thou have me do?" Preacher, what happened? A light come on. He wasn't wondering who the Lord was, and he wasn't wondering what he was. He realized he knew the Savior. He needed the Savior. And he accepted him at this day and this time on the Damascus Road. Now, as I've read unto you the pattern, I believe with all of my heart, I believe there are some common elements. Number one, has God ever convicted you of being a sinner? You know, y'all remember the woman with that issue of blood in the gospel? She reached out and just touched the hem of his garment. Now, watch this. She didn't have the experience that Saul had. But those elements are in place. Jesus came forth. She realized she needed a Savior and she reached by faith. That's Bible salvation. The Bible says the devils in hell believe and tremble. 80% of this country believe in God. You ever thought why he said this in John's Gospel chapter 14? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prayer place for you. If I go away, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And so Thomas was there, and all of a sudden Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He says, there's one way to God, and that's God's Son. He said, I don't want you to be confused just because you think you believe in God that everything's good. You must receive what God has given to you to get you to Him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I believe in the elements of this pattern that he had to realize that Jesus was true. Could you imagine when this light shined on him, how convincing that became? Do you remember how convincing it became when you was lost and when you came to Christ? You remember how convinced you were? He went from, Lord, who are you, to, Lord, what will you have me do? There's a change took place. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, Saul, Saul. Saul, Saul. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us enough to get our attention? Saul, Saul. This conversing, this conviction. But then, lastly, the conversion in verse number 8. Look what happened. A Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. You know, one of the biggest things that you can realize if you've ever been saved, this earth is just not the same no more. This old world's just not the same, is it? Listen, I enjoy living. I love it. Yesterday, me and Parker got shotguns. We went out. Man, I wrapped up, about froze to death. We shot shotguns. I enjoy living. I mean, just the little things. I enjoy living. But let me tell you, this world is not my home. We ought to feel like strangers in this old world, what's going on. And you'll notice his eyes was closed to this earth. God lifted him up. And look where they find him. They find him in a place called Straight Street. This conversion, we see his adjustment. God adjusted him. But then we see this action. So look where he's at in verse 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go in the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul. Where did Saul go after he got saved? He wound up on Straight Street. That's what's missing in America. A life-changing action. The things I used to do, I can't do them long now. Well, I still have bad thoughts. I still lose my temper, but I have to apologize. You see, Miss Sherry, we should come this morning.